We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and tonight I want us to discuss a few important topics. Number one is the question of friendships. When we get married, so very often we have friends from before our marriage. We have to know that those friendships will very often have to go on hold. Sometimes friends will throw you a line. Hey, you used to be so much fun. Now when we all go out, you're with your wife. Right? Right? Your task for the first 2 years of marriage is to build that relationship. And if that means that you will not be able to go out Saturday night with your friends, so be it. I got a phone call from a friend who lives way up north. And he says to me, Matzei Shabbos, can I stop by? So I ask him, is your wife with you? He says, no. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with him? The guy's married 3-4 months. How come he's traveling without his wife? So she's tired. Fine, I'm not going to start judging other people. But in general, we have to spend the first year or two building that relationship. When possible, we spend the time together. When we're together, we should not be on cell phones. Our cell phones should be off. There's no great emergency. The world doesn't have to reach you. And you can make up with your babysitter if you already have kids and you're going out on a date, that she will call from this phone number and you only answer calls from that phone number. It could be your house phone, it could be her cell phone, but there's no reason that couples go out on dates and you see them sitting in a restaurant and they're both on their phone or on their phone. What's going on here? You guys be with one another. You're building a relationship? Yes, friends have to go by the wayside. I think that even before you get married, you should make the move of going through your Facebook account and having only friends of the same gender. But that's maybe you're not ready for that yet. But in the long run, that's a way to go. Once you're married, what are you doing having old girlfriends on your Facebook account or anyone of the opposite gender? What's the deal? What's going on here? But even friends of the same gender, you have to be focused on your relationship and developing your relationship. So on the one hand, friendships have to be a little bit on the side burner for the first year or two. On the other hand, you have to know that in the long run, you do need friendships. Men need friends, and women need friends, and even though your wife is going to be your best friend, hopefully, at the end of the day, you still need friends. You have to know that when you're with your wife, she needs that dedication. You have to be focused with her. I recommend that for the first year, you guys shut your phones at night. When we got married, so the morning after the wedding, at 6:30 in the morning, the phone rings. So I was a little surprised and a little annoyed. And so I went to the phone afterwards, and on the voicemail, we got married at the end of the month of Teves. So on the voicemail, I left a message, thank you very much for calling. We are unable to listen to our messages now. We will listen to our messages after Tu B'Shvat. That's 18 days later. Thank you and have a nice day. We will listen to our messages. We will listen after Tu B'Shvat. When Tu B'Shvat came, I saw this was such a good idea. I changed the voicemail. Thank you very much for calling. We will listen to our voicemail after Purim, a month later. And when Purim came, I changed the voicemail to, we will listen to our messages after Pesach. Now, each time I did listen, but the reason this was so important was because before we got married, I was in touch with a lot of people. And I brought the phone with me from yeshiva. I had the same number. The number I have today is the number I had in yeshiva 18 years ago, my home phone number. So people were calling. People were calling for shidduch, and people were calling for all kinds of things, which was fine. But it wasn't fine, because if you're starting married life, you have to be able to have time together. You can't spend your nights returning calls to people all night. So I always recommend to couples, I say, there are a few pieces of advice I'll give you that I have very, very positive feedback about. One is, take the first month and agree that in that first month, your phones will be off at night. No computer, no cell phones. Do your stuff on other times. At nights, be together. And I tell all the couples, I'm asking you to do it for a month. If you can't do it for a month, do it for 2 weeks. You know why? Because anyone who tried it for a month actually does it for 2 or 3 months. After people experience it and see how positive it is, then they take it on for longer. So point number one is with regards to friendships. We have to let our friends know. We don't always have to be so subtle. You know, sometimes you can let it just happen. But we have to decide within ourselves that right now our friendships are on the side burner. We're focused on building the relationship. It's important that your wives know this too. Sometimes you get married, you're coming in prepared to be totally dedicated and developing the relationship, and your wife is on the phone all night. And anything you say, she calls up her friend and says, "Susie, you won't believe what my husband just said." You can't live life that way. You have to feel like there's an intimate relationship here and that what goes on between you does not get shared outside. Yes, you will be disappointed. Be prepared. Your wife will tell things over to her mother and her friends that you feel should not have been said. You could talk to her about it, and hopefully to some degree she will go with that. And you could talk to her about it, and hopefully to some degree she will go with that. And you could talk to her about it, and hopefully to some degree she will go with that. Be prepared that it's like I said, to some degree. No, it should happen, and women should keep a certain confidence with their husbands. Husbands always expect more than they receive, but women should always try to do more than they're inclined to do. It's something that women have to learn to do. It's not within their nature, but they should do it. So when we speak about friendships, the general rule is they go on the side burner for the favor of marriage. What happens if you have a friend that your wife is uncomfortable with? Then he doesn't come to the house. Your first loyalty is to your wife. And if your wife is uncomfortable that you're friends with him, he always takes you gambling. You always stay out late with him. He always gives you bad ideas and bad advice. Listen to your wife. If your wife feels uncomfortable that a friend you have, you should respect her feelings. You could disagree. So what? Part of mutual respect is that you go that way. What about the flip side? What if you're uncomfortable with a friend that she has? She's always telling you what a bad husband I am. That's another problem. Sometimes there are friends that are poison. Sometimes there are friends that will stick in their poison. They'll say a bad word here and a bad word there. You sense it, then you have to wipe out that friendship. There's no room for mediocrity here. If there's a friendship that's poison to the marriage, then the couple has to discuss it, and that friend has to be eliminated. No, I'm not talking about hiring a hitman. That friendship has to be eliminated. Friends can have a tremendous impact on a marriage. Harbe shcheinim ra'im osim. It says in the Talmud that a bad neighbor, which is an example of a bad friend, can really destroy a marriage. So if someone feels like someone's... Oh, very nice. So if one of you senses that there's someone who's not good for the marriage, so the other one should be respectful of it. And again, if your wife feels that way, there are other people you should be friends with. So fine, you'll develop other relationships. Yes?
A lot of couples nowadays are... Maybe not married couples, but boyfriend and girlfriend couples are into like checking the other person's phone. That's not recommended, right? I mean, you should trust your
I disagree. No, I'm sorry. I always told my wife that she has complete access to everything I have. Every cell phone, every voicemail, every email. I don't think there's any legitimacy to having an account on a email or a cell phone where your spouse doesn't have access to it. Why? Why? What do I have to hide? You shouldn't have anything to hide.
I disagree with that, but my question was more like doing the action of checking. Like, that's not really a...
Doing the action of checking, hopefully you have no need to. What can I tell you? I can tell you that sometimes a person might get an SMS from their parent about their spouse that they wouldn't want their spouse to see. So that's a good question, you know. Hopefully you don't get that. And if you do get that, then hopefully you put an end to it. And a person tells his parent, look, if I'm asking you respectfully that you don't say things that are less than positive about my spouse. And that's very important. And a person has to be prepared to demand that to the point of severing contact for a period with the parent. But that's a story in its own right. Right now we're dealing with friendships. I'm sorry we're short on time. There are a few more points. One of the most important messages that we have to give our spouses is what the verse says. Achat hi yonati tamati. The verse in the Song of Songs says, you, my dove, are singular. You're singular. One of the feelings that you always want to impart to your spouse is that you are the only one in my life. You are the unique one in my life. You are the special one in my life. So imagine the following. You're celebrating your anniversary. You're married a total of a month or a year or whenever you're going to celebrate it. And you come and you say, I wanted to tell you how, just a second. Meaningful our marriage is, just a second. To me. What did you just say?
No,
he keeps looking at his cell phone. He just got an SMS. I'm with you. I mean to tell you how meaningful you are to me. I just have to keep checking my cell phone. But you guys think it's an exaggeration. It's not. It's how we live our lives. People today think it's polite to stand in front of someone looking at their cell phone as they're talking to them. Why? And even if you have that misconception that it's polite to talk to someone else that way, it's certainly not polite to talk to your wife that way. And we have to recognize that one of our responsibilities is to impart that feeling to our spouse, that they are number one. They are in a class in and of themselves. There's no one else who's as important as they are. It's true, there is no one else who's as important as they are. We have to ensure that we can give them that feeling. Part of giving them that feeling is being able to shut the cell phone, being able to shut the outside world, being able to be with them alone. So what happens when you walk into the restaurant, you're taking out your wife, and you meet that old friend you haven't seen in years? Chaim, it's been ages. He hugs you. Let's sit down and have the date together. So you have to be man enough to say, I'm thrilled to see you. Here's my number. Let's catch up, because tonight I really, my wife and I need the time alone. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong. And people will come knocking on your door when you made up to be alone with your wife, to spend the night talking, to spend the night, and suddenly there's a knock on the door, and it could be your mother-in-law, and it could be someone else, it could be a neighbor, it could be a lot of people that have demands on your time. And you have to be man enough to say, I want to talk to you, but right now I really can't. And then you can hang up the phone. Or you can gently close the door if the person doesn't get the hint. One of the things I learned how to do is to open a door when a guest is there. Thank you so much for coming, you say as you open the door. And the guest was thinking, I thought I had a guest once tell me this, I thought I'd enjoy a good cup of tea. To which I said, that's a great idea. Remind me next time you come. You have to be able to do that. If people are going to be so crass that they're going to impose on you, so you have to be able to say, I'm sorry, now it doesn't work. Just because I exist doesn't mean I have to open the door. Just because the phone rings doesn't mean I have to answer it. Just because there's a knock on the door doesn't mean I have to get it. So I had someone knock on the door once, and he said, I hear you're in there. And I said, you're right, I'm in here, and I cannot answer the door right now. I'm sorry. What happened? So what? So he knocked on the door. So if I'm with my children, someone else has to, they override that. Sometimes you can let people in, sometimes you can't. So if you get a visitor once every 3 months, okay, so you should be nice to them. But if you have like 15 knocks on the door a night, so then sometimes you can't answer. Sometimes you got to be there with your kids. So I'm just saying that feeling that your wife and children have to receive, that they're number one, they don't get that when you're answering phones and you're in the middle of talking to them. They don't get that when you're on a phone conversation with them and there's a call waiting and you get that. There was once a person who gave a class from this podium. He was in the middle of giving class and his phone rang and he said, I'm sorry, it might be important. And I felt like walking out of the class. It might be important? I know I'm important. I'm in your class. I came here. Aren't I important? Didn't I come to hear your class? So I'm not important, but the phone call might be important? But how many times do we do that to our spouse or to our best friend or to the guy we're in the middle of talking to? This might be important. No, wait. So then I'm for sure not, right? Because a might be important comes first. So we have to give the exact opposite feeling. We have to verbalize it and we have to actualize it in our actions. You are the most important person in my life. And so I want to be with you alone. And the other friends are less important. And if there's a conflict between you and the friends, then the friends have to go. You come first. That's the message we need to receive. That's the message we need to give.